Translation with a purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of the providence, and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone in the material world is engaged in a struggle for existence. Everyone tries to save himself from danger. But when one is unable to save himself, if he is pious, he then takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.16. Chaturvida bhajanti imam jana sukritina arjuna arto jinyasur artarti jani cha bharatarshaba. Four kinds of pious men, namely one who is in danger, one who is in need of money, one who is searching for knowledge, and one who is inquisitive, begin to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be saved or to advance. The king of the elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shi guru dinatarina. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatade Satarine. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnava present in the audience, Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. And please forgive me for any offense committed knowingly or unknowingly, and giving me some blessings that I may speak something from this wonderful purport, wonderful verse from Sukadeva Goswami, a nice purport of Srila Prabhupada. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of the providence, and being unboarded and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger. He was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. So this is... This is a paradigm shift that Many of us we have passed, we've been through, and that's what made us joining the Krishna consciousness movement. Many of us, we felt the pinch, the bite of Maya, of the crocodile, the pain. So, and we made exactly the same decision that Gajendra is making here. After a long struggle in this material world, at some point it reached to the point that we can't really tolerate anymore. We can't take it anymore. And many of us, we gave up the clothes as a master and we put on clothes as a servant. It's an indication that from now on, my dear Lord, I want to be your servant. And Krishna, being pleased with this mood, immediately, by the grace of devotional service, by the grace of the spiritual master, by the blessings of the devotees, we feel some relief from the pain of the bite of the crocodile. Just like Gajendra, he taught for long time. For 1,000 years, he didn't think of the Lord in the first day, the second day, or the third day, or the first year, or after 100 years. But it took 1,000 years to reach to this decision. Because he could understand that there is no way I can have the upper hand being in the territory of Maya, the territory of the crocodile, which is the water. We are all like fish outside the water in this world. The spirit is made to live and breathe the spiritual atmosphere. Right? Srila Prabhupada said one should be like fire to enter into the fire, and one should become spiritual to enter into the spiritual world, because this is the connotation that we have with the spiritual world. Being spirit souls, therefore, we are made for that environment. But being into this unknown environment or uncharted waters, we are bound to be bitten sometimes by the shark of the sex desire, by the snake of envy, by the tiger of anger, by the there are so many attacks that all of us undergo while we are in this body and in this material world, trying to overlord the material atmosphere. And at some point when we reach the bottom of the sea, that's it. There is no, you can't go any down than that. So you can only go up. And that's the point when that Gajendra is reaching here. Is reached at the bottom of the sea. He understood that there is no way out unless he would surrender to the joys of the crocodile and die. Either the death is the way out, or the only way to survive is to ask for help. And he decided, he made this sublime decision to call for help from the Lord, and the Lord immediately helped him. So this is very much felt by all the living entities, the mood of Gajendra. But like Srila Prabhupada says, some pious people, they do surrender. And those who are not pious, they cannot. Sinful activities, demonic mentality is a stumbling block for surrender. Pride. So the pain that the living entities, they feel, it causes, for some pious people, brings them close to God. Pain actually brings us close to God. For those who are pious. Because they're inquisitive. Why am I suffering? Who am I? What am I doing in this situation? Who is God? What is the purpose of life? Where will I go after I die? So these are all important questions that an intelligent man, rationally, he will ask himself. But someone who is attached to the demoniac life, attached to the enjoyment of the materialistic life, then there is, when they're enjoying, they cannot think of God. And when they suffer, either they think that there is no God or they blame God for their suffering. So in other words, you can't win with these people. They're doomed to curse Krishna, God, for their suffering. Just like yesterday, every day I go out and have my shower of book distribution for 2-3 hours. And I meet some very nice people. There is some good in this world, that's why I go out every day. But occasionally you meet some people who are disturbed. And I met outside the service area, there was a lady who had about 2 or 3 medals. And she was on crutches. She was missing a leg. She must have been a casualty of war or something. Very nice lady. And then the husband was helping her. I think they were kind of a upper class family. Big, huge, beautiful car. So he was struggling to help her, to put her in the car. And I came close and I said, would you like any help? I didn't even go with the intention of giving a book. But she said politely, no, thank you. But the man, he looked at me in a very angry way. Don't even climb close to the car. If you're trying to give us something, because he saw me with some books in the hand. Shirada Gokulananda Kija. He said, if you are part of any religion, or if you clear off, not interested, and then he made a little swear word. I looked at the lady, because she was nice to me, so I said, have a good day anyway, sorry. And he looked at me, in a very angry way, and get lost, you and your God, something. He said something in those terms. Now, it made me thinking that here you have a scenario, someone who is very angry, a beautiful lady, but no leg. That means he cannot really enjoy properly with his wife. So therefore, he has to nurse this lady rather than enjoying with her. And that's a pain, it's a sacrifice. You know, for a materialistic man, someone who is in a vishayi, in a mood of enjoying, you know, he cannot enjoy with a disabled person. Sensual life or whatever, you know, dancing or... So therefore, I could see from his mood, from his eyes, very angry towards God. He's blaming God for the casualty of his wife. Now, what can you do in such a situation? There's not much you could do. These people, they're forced to austerity by the will of the providence. I had a friend, he was a very selfish person. He told me, when I went to Italy, he became a nurse, and he changed his life. He said, by helping people, I became selfless. God has forced me to be to sacrifice my selfish mood and to do something good to help people, and he really changed his mood. He became very altruistic. Now he's involved with a charity and he's doing a lot of goods. So this is the situation when Krishna. Nothing happened by chance. Now this man was forced to look after his wife, but it's good for him because the pain of the austerity and the sacrifice, it will hopefully change his mood to become a little bit, to understand that the bodies are not made for enjoyment, but made for something else. And the wife is not made for enjoyment, but it's a companion to help us in spiritual life or to live a life in goodness. Some people they have to learn in a hard way. So that's it. For a pious man, pain brings him close to God. There's a very interesting verse, purport of Srila Prabhupada in the ninth canto. I forgot the chapter, but it really struck me. I read it about 15 years ago. And I was in depression at that time. I remember I resigned as a Sankirtan leader because I was not well. Depression, anybody can fall in depression. So, and I was reading, I opened up the Bhagavatam. That's all I was doing every day. And I came across this verse, Prabhupada saying that a devotee, when a disease comes, a devotee embraces the disease, the pain. Whereas a non-devotee pushes it away. And Prabhupada gave a name, Prajvara. It's a purifying agent. It's actually because it's Krishna himself coming to us in the form of pain, in the form of disease. So pain, it's not a bad thing. You can turn pain into love, into happiness. I was talking to Rancho some time back, and he's such a good soul. He's made me understand that this principle that of pain, that if someone is experiencing pain, he's been blessed by God. Now, how do you understand that? People usually, when they are enjoying, they said, I've been blessed by God. But those who are feeling pain, they do anything and everything. They go to hospitals and they try to get rid of this because it's an uncomfortable element, phenomena. It's a feeling very much unwanted in anybody's mind or body. But for someone who is advanced in spiritual understanding, then pain is very much welcomed for that person. Pain is a purifying agent. It's Krishna himself. And that's what I did. 15 years, I embraced it. I followed what Prabhupada said. I said, okay. Why should I be afraid of depression? Depression means when you're living in a darkness and you're afraid. I used to get a panic attacks. I said, I'm afraid of what? If Krishna is coming to me in that form, I should embrace him. I'm a devotee, so I'm trying to be a devotee. Let me embrace him. I got well. Oh, even, you know, I live, you know, my days in depression, but it didn't affect me anymore. And now when it comes a little bit, because we all feel sometimes down, It's the nature of the mind. The mind also gets sick, just like the body gets sick. And, you know, sometimes you go, you feel stressed out or you feel unhappy. And, you know, but it doesn't matter. You can transcend it because it's not, we are not the mind. You feel it, but there is, with a higher intelligence, actually you can tolerate the uncomfortable feeling. And you will see that after some time, it brings you something good. And I came up with this realization some time back that any good realizations only grows in the field of suffering. They don't grow in the field of enjoyment. You try to enjoy and try to breed some good realization from your enjoyment. It doesn't work. But realizations are only, they only grow in the field of suffering. In the field of enjoyment, you only find like madness, ignorance, envy, greed, lust, illusion, selfishness, all these things, they're born from the field of enjoyment. I'm talking about myself. I've experienced it. When I enjoy, it can only bring suffering. Right? The Acharya, they say, you know, that enjoying in the mode of passion brings suffering. But pain, austerity, brings illumination. The Buddhists, they undergo voluntary pain. Why? Because it brings illumination. It brings a higher understanding. Why austerity is actually recommended for any type of ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas? Because austerity, tapo devyam, voluntary austerity, should never be given up. It's a pain. It's an uncomfortable thing. But that pain, like brahmacharis, they live in very austere life. If they live according to the protocols of brahmachari ashram, without any tinge of sense gratification, then it will bring fruits. It will bring illumination. It will bring realizations. It will bring them close to God. Krishna himself, when he comes, he embraces pain. It's Vamanadeva. He comes as a brahmachari, austere. Right, he's the owner of all the three worlds, but he doesn't want to enjoy them. He's a brahmana, he's a brahmachari. Krishna comes and he roams the forest as Lord Ramachandra, voluntarily. It's because he's trying to show humility? I don't think so. It's because he likes it. The feeling of austerity, the pain and the simplicity, that's the secret where you, that's the secret formula where you find the happiness. Bharat, his brother, he could have enjoyed, you know, the kingdom in the absence of his brother Ram, but voluntarily, what did he do? He also followed the same footsteps of Lord Ramachandra, because Krishna himself is teaching us how to enjoy, how to find happiness. The spiritual master, when he initiates the disciple, he actually initiates the disciple and he puts him on the probation, on the trial phase, before he also gives the second initiation. He's teaching him how to enjoy. With what method? So by giving up sinful activities, accepting austerity, by chanting japa, which is a tapasya, yagya, worshipping, all these things, they appear to be like a painful poison in the beginning, but actually they turn into pleasure. Now, sometimes I've reached to this understanding myself, from my own experience, that I know that I can survive in the cold wind of December by being out and endure with book distribution in the cold. Sometimes it gets very cold, unbearable. But somehow or another, sometimes now I've trained myself to enjoy it. Because I know that, you know, in the beginning you feel like that, but then after some time, frozen hands and, you know, you shake a hand with people. People, they can't understand how you manage to stand in the street giving out these books. What do you gain out of this? But there is something, you know, the austerity brings actually some kind of sense of gratification. It's an intoxication. It's actually brahmacharis, just like people sometimes, they train, you know, in the gym. They become intoxicated by gym, by putting the body under so much pain, right? That the adrenaline, they become very addicted. There are people that are addicted to gym, to pain. They force the body through the limit. But Krishna says, that's good. Someone who understands, you know, that austerity and pain, it actually ultimately can turn in pleasure. It could become an addiction. But you have to do it for me. That's why Vasudeva Param Yoga, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, and Vasudeva Param Gati. Any type of yoga you do for the pleasure of Vasudeva, any type of jnana, you study books to understand Vasudeva, the tapasya, the pain we're going through, it has to be done to satisfy Vasudeva. And even for liberation, one has to achieve liberation to reach the Vasudeva kingdom. So, feeling of suffering, of stress, if we are immersed in ignorance, then by the power and the blessings of the Paramatma, we understand that we can only become free from this situation if we surrender to Krishna. But then after that, we become just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then you start to see things the other way around, that what is daylight for a sage is nighttime for a materialistic man. Like there are people, you know, sometimes they ask me when I'm preaching, so you give up meat, fish, eggs, gamblings, intoxication, illicit sex. So what is there for you? What is the point of living? So they think that the happiness and the enjoyment, satisfaction is actually from these things. But before we became devotees, of course, those things, they were very much in demand. They're very dear to all the people who are in the mood of enjoyment. But once you understand that there is something spiritual, then you try to dig up and find the happiness into the spiritual cultivation. So this is just a few thoughts I had from this purport, from this verse. And we will ask if there is any questions. It's 1 minute to